Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage. Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fadis.
Richard Allen's trial, it's not very far off, and we keep learning, well, as we always do almost every week, more and more miscalculations, missteps, or just flat-out lies that have come out of law enforcement and their handling of the case. The latest, Miranda rights issues. Richard Allen's attorney argued that the Miranda rights were not properly administered during the October 26 interrogation and that the initial moments of the video, which might confirm this, are missing. There's all this missing video everywhere. Kind of a big deal, you know, especially if you're trying someone for murder, that you didn't administer some basic things here. And there's a lot more to it. We'll get into that, but let's start with the Miranda rights to begin with. How is that going to be affecting this?
You know, it could be critically important if it's established that Richard Allen did not receive a proper Miranda rights advisement, because if he didn't, then all of his statements potentially would be suppressed and could not be used against him. The jury wouldn't hear about it. Now, you know, how helpful is that to the defense? It at least takes a category of evidence away from the prosecution, away from their arsenal that they could not use against Richard Allen if he prevails on this motion.
Yeah, and that's an interesting part, because I know they're trying to suppress his testimony or his interrogation that he gave. And the interrogation itself is interesting. It's an interesting thing that we have here in our country, where the police can lie to you in an interrogation to try and intimidate you to say or get some information out of you. You go to other countries, the UK, for example, you can't do that. That is not okay. They look at us and going, why are you doing that? That doesn't seem to be a great idea. I know some departments have their own policies against that now as well, because they realize it sometimes produces false information. I'm wondering, now that we saw some of the testimony there that was given, how much do you think was just a lot of pressure on this, you know, guy to try and get him to crack or to say something that may not even be real?
You know, these interrogations are nerve-wracking as is. Mm-hmm. You've got officers who are trained to elicit information in an incriminating way, peppering you with questions about the murder of two little girls. And so without question, an individual is going to feel that pressure. And really the issue for the court is whether that pressure rose to such a level that it became too coercive and really overcame Richard Allen's will and forced him to give up information.
Because we're hearing the accusations also that he had admitted to the crime now to more than just his mom and to his wife, I believe. But we're seeing almost like interrogation type techniques that were used by the guards at the jail when they were just kind of treating him like shit. And if you're already in a weak state of mind, it's not too crazy that if someone's saying they're threatening you in some way, shape or form, unless you admit it, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing here, you know, bad things are going to happen to you or your family or something. I think if you fear for your own well-being or your family, you'll probably say whatever you need to protect, because those people at that moment in time, as wrong as it is, have the upper hand and can do some damage.
Without question, there are countless true crime documentaries that are showing a person wrongly confessing to something that is demonstrably untrue. It can't be true, but still people make these false confessions. And so, you know, us on the outside seeing it, we say, oh, why would anyone ever admit to that? But there are circumstances under which a person would make a false confession, just like the sort of coercive ones that you were mentioning.
Is there a goal here on the part of the prosecution in terms of steering public perception of this case? I'm wondering if they went into this really heavy-handed thinking, we got our guy, they just keep trudging down that road, even though there's like no more cars on the road and the road's kind of falling apart and there's a cliff dead ahead, but we're going to keep going. I think they were maybe trying to steer it their way, but now it's just gone so off the frickin' rails. Do they just not know what they're doing anymore at this point? And because I don't think public perception is necessarily going in their direction in terms of the prosecution.
No, I feel you, Tony. And you know, I'm wondering if, like, you know, when there are two girls dead in a community, there's a lot of societal pressure, right? Especially on law enforcement. You've got to find the person and you've got to make sure that they get what they deserve. And so I'm wondering if law enforcement came out super heavy-handed and thought they had the right dude, and now things are kind of crumbling. A lot of questions are being raised. And are they still just kind of riding this horse into the ground because of egos, because of, you know, they don't want the embarrassment of you know, letting off a little bit, or because they think this is what the community wants? I don't know, but I agree with you that I don't think it is what the community wants.
If he is convicted on this, I mean, he pretty much has won at Monopoly and has the get a new trial free card going on. How different, I mean, this is way down the road, but how different would a second trial be? I mean, we're talking about the same sort of evidence, the same sort of people. I think the only hope you have is, you know, a different judge that maybe won't be so hard-handed and ignorant on so many of the facts here, just blatantly irresponsible with how this is being handled. But would get a new trial free card is lovely, but if it's still the same jurisdiction and the same sort of people, does that matter?
You know, one question in response to that is this investigation so botched that it's just not recoverable? Yeah. You know, even if he's convicted on the first trial and then wins on appeal and there's a second trial, the defense still gets to talk about law enforcement incompetence, law enforcement errors, law enforcement bias, and you know, kind of what some might seem as harassing conduct against mm-hmm. Richard Allen. And so those things don't necessarily go away. Those errors aren't erased simply because there's a second trial. And I'm just wondering if things are so botched that a second trial would not be fruitful either.
5 years from now, is Richard Allen behind bars, or is he enjoying the multi-million dollar settlement after suing the police force in Delphi?
Yeah, you know, two extreme scenarios in terms of how this could play out. It could go all the way on this end or all the way on another end. You know, at least in my appraisal, the confessions are going to be a hurdle for defense to get over. Mm-hmm. Despite everything law enforcement has done, when a jury hears the word confession, whether it's valid or not, that holds a lot of weight. And so I think the defense would be prudent to hire a false confession expert in addition to all the ammunition they already have for law enforcement's blunders.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.